Okay, so we've had chapter 28 of Matthew's Gospel read to us. And as we look at it together, I would like to show you how it invites us to do three things this Easter. WWW. Okay, not the World Wide Web. Okay, no. It's wonder, witness, and witness. Now, I admit that last word might be a little bit made up, but I really like alliteration, and I couldn't think of another word beginning with W that gave a sense of presence. So bear with me, that's what we're stuck with. Okay? Now, last week, those of you that were here, we wrote our praises on a palm leaf, and I asked you to keep hold of them so that you could have them for today. I think Mandy was given out at the door, so if you haven't found yours yet, ask Mandy or find out where the pile is. I have three spare ones, if anybody who wasn't here last week would like to. I don't suppose you would mind handing those out. To go along with your leaf, you have a flower. Okay, so I will also hand these out, and also there'll be Ruth's pretty pens being handed out as well, okay? Because we're going to pause at points during the sermon to reflect on these three things. So thank you to my wonderful assistant, Ruth. I appreciate it. Okay, now, I will let you do that. And whilst you're doing that, I will kind of remember which slide I put there. So yes, that's fine. No, okay. I just didn't know how many slides I'd put in between. all right. You'll notice you have a six-petaled flower and only 3 points. So you might want to write the point on one petal and what you're going to do about it on the other petal. Or you can just write across two. I mean, I don't really mind. It's just that apparently a three-petaled flower didn't look very pretty, and so Ruth said that we have to have a six-petaled flower. And when it comes to pretty, I bow to Ruth's opinion, like she knows better than I do. So you have a six-petaled flower for a three-point sermon, and hopefully you are all going to have a coloured pen as well. Okay. Now, I am guessing that for many of you here, you have spent many Easter Sundays in church, that you have listened to or maybe even preached sermons on the resurrection. And so you are forgiven if, like me, you think, I think I've heard it all before. But you see, the thing is with Easter that it's not about simply knowing a story or knowing a case of or facts of the case. It's about embracing the story. It's about becoming part of the story. And so, yeah, we've already heard it. But what we are being invited to do is to be part of the Easter story. And we have heard in our reading the way not to do it. Okay, so verses 11 to 15. Okay. While the women were on the way, some of the guards went into the city and reported to the chief priests everything that had happened. And when the chief priests had met with the elders, they devised a plan. They gave the soldiers a large sum of money, telling them, you are to say that his disciples came during the night and stole him away while you were asleep. And if this report gets to the governor, we will satisfy him and keep you out of trouble. And so the soldiers took the money and did as they were instructed, and this story was widely circulated. Have you noticed that the chief priests and the elders and the soldiers knew what happened that Easter Sunday? It had been reported to them. They were aware that Jesus had risen. But they didn't embrace that. They didn't partake of that event. They did not wonder and marvel about how it could be so. They didn't consider what it might mean. Rather, they tried to control the narrative. They didn't witness to what they had seen. They didn't witness to what they had heard. They chose silence. They chose to hush it up and tell a different story. And consequently, they didn't get to be with Jesus. Jesus doesn't talk to them. They don't spend time with him. They miss out on Jesus because they refuse to respond to what they have seen. I think they're a perfect example of how to miss the point of the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ. But on the other hand, we have the disciples who show us what it means to become a part of the story, to show us what it means to make Easter a fundamental part of our lives. I think they show us how to wonder, witness, and be with Jesus. Look at these verses. There's a violent earthquake. An angel of the Lord comes down from heaven, goes to the tomb, rolls back the tomb, sits on it. His appearance is like lightning. His clothes are white as snow. And the guards are so afraid that they become like dead men. And the angel says to them, "Don't be afraid. I know that you're looking for Jesus who was crucified. He's not here. He is risen. Come and see the place where he lay." And the women hurried away, afraid yet filled with joy. And then later when the disciples saw Jesus, they worshipped, but some doubted. I think in all of that, we see people who are invited to wonder, to consider and to embrace the glorious thing that has happened. The guards become like dead men at the sight of the angel of the Lord, because the appearance is as lightning and whose clothes are white as snow. Can you actually imagine what that would be like? I mean, what would it take to make you fall into a dead faint? I mean, like, it must have been pretty glorious, yes? And what about this? Are you able to consider the sight of this awesome angel who has rolled away this really large boulder and then casually sat upon it? I mean, like, can you imagine what it would have been like? You've been given this simple task of guarding the dead, and suddenly it becomes this monumental event. And then we hear the women, they're invited, go and see the tomb. They don't have to just hear it. They're told, go and have a look. He's not here. How can that be so? Where is he? How does someone rise from the dead? What on earth is going on? And the women look and they see, and they are afraid and yet filled with joy. They are amazed and perplexed. They don't understand it, but they do believe. It blows their minds, but it also fills their hearts with joy. And so I don't think we should be surprised when we read that the disciples that saw and worshipped Jesus, some of them doubted. I don't blame them. This is not an ordinary event. This cannot be explained. This is most unexpected. It seems unreal. How is it even possible? These, I imagine, are the feelings of those people who were there on that first Easter Sunday thousands of years ago. But I think they're quite possibly also the feelings of those that hear the account today. And it should be so. I don't think we should gloss over the wonder, amazement, and just incredible nature of the resurrection. It is marvellous. And wonderful and inexplicable. And so we are invited to wonder this Easter, to create space that allows us to consider that the impossible happened. The Son of God died, and the Son of God rose again. And so we're going to spend a minute or two. You might want to spend that time in silence. You might want to be writing something on your flower that helps you to remember, to wonder, and be amazed. It might be the very thing that amazes you that you want to write down. Whatever it is that you want to do, just spend a minute or so just reveling in that wonder and that joy that Jesus rose from the dead. And I don't have a flower.
That's right, so you can't really do what you do. Thank you very much. Thank you.
so we can wonder this Easter. But that's not all that we are invited to do. For those that saw the resurrected Jesus are commanded to witness to that fact. See these verses. They go quickly and tell his disciples that he is risen from the dead and that he's going ahead of you into Galilee. I've told you. And the women ran to tell the disciples. They're commanded, go and tell my brothers to go to Galilee. And then Jesus says, therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teach them everything, teach them to obey everything I have commanded. You see, this message is to be spread far and wide. The call and the command is to go and share the good news. For he has risen. That's not news to be kept to yourself. That's not a secret that must be hidden. It's gloriously good news for all people. Jesus Christ is risen from the dead. And in doing so, we have received life. And so we should go. We should tell. We should say it, write it, shout it, text it, sing it, proclaim it, whatever. Go, tell. The Lord is alive. And so, on your flower, you might want to write something that reminds you to witness to what you know. It may be that you want to write down the name of the person that you want to tell. It might be that you want to spend this time to pray and ask God for the opportunity to tell somebody. It might be that you want to, you know, come up with a little text message image, I don't know, whatever you want to do. How are you going to witness this Easter? As we go and tell people that the Lord is alive, we can also tell them that they can be with him, just as we are with Jesus. Because that's what it means this Easter, that we can be with Jesus. We can see him, touch him, hear him. We can be with him forever. And these verses, I think, show that the disciples didn't imagine a Lord Jesus. It wasn't a figment of their imagination, but they saw him, they met him, they heard him say, they grasped his feet, and they saw him, they worshipped him, they came to him. And then Jesus' promise is, surely I am with you always, to the very end of this age. Now, granted, we do not hear and see Jesus in the same way that those first disciples did. Jesus has returned to the Father's right hand to await the end of the age. And at that point, we will get to be with Jesus in a way that just will, I am sure, blow our imagination. I do not think we can imagine how good it is going to be in the presence of God. But that's the promise. Even though our experience is different from those disciples, we are still able to say that we have seen the Lord, that we have heard Jesus speak, and that we meet in the presence of Jesus. That's a glorious promise, isn't it, to us who believe? That Jesus is with us, living in us by his Spirit, speaking to us through his word, and amongst us as we gather to worship. The death and resurrection of Jesus Christ has paved the way that we can say with confidence, I am with Jesus. And so that's my final invitation for you this Easter. Be with Jesus. So I don't know what you want to write on your flower, but it might be a way to remind you of how to spend time with Jesus, whether that be reading scripture, through praying, through praising. Maybe you want to go and take a walk with Jesus. Maybe you just want to spend some time silence listening. But take a moment to think about how you are going to be with Jesus this Easter.
the top floor room.
Would you like a second flower, John? You can have as many flat. No. Would you like to have smaller writing? No. They don't quite match with the size, but the idea was that your flower would go with your leaf and you would have the praises to the Lord as well as your reminder that this Easter we wonder and we witness and we are with Jesus. Because we're not only to wonder at the marvellous thing that God has done, or just to witness to what God has done, but we are to live in the light of what God has done at Easter. We rejoice that Christ is alive, and that is our basis for how we live. And so we're going to sing a final song together, In Christ Alone. It's a song that covers the life and the death and the resurrection of Jesus, and it's a song that invites us to put our trust and our hope in Christ alone. So please do.